Today, I want to read from a passage of Scripture before we start. It's John chapter 16, verse 23. It says, "And on that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. These things I have spoken to you in figures of speech. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. On that day, you will ask in my name. And I am not saying to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world and going to the Father." Today, kind of want to focus our attention on this idea of, are we asking? You know, he says to the disciples, he says, until now, you have asked for nothing, but ask in my name that your joy may be full. That's how we are to live our life as much as possible each and every day. We are to live it knowing that we have a Father that we can always talk to about what we are going through in life and how that relates to Him, how we relate to Him through that, just like Jesus Himself did. On many occasions, He cried out to the Father and asked Him to work. So I asked my daughter, Reagan, if she would come and share about the journey that we went through, a very fast journey, only a few months, but a fast journey to where we are now and how God has worked in that. So Reagan, if you will come and share. Got it?
Yeah. I think. Oh. I'm going to sit so you can stay up there. It just feels a little bit better. Dad's been asking me for a couple of weeks if I knew what I was going to say. And to his, I'm sure, surprise, I just reminded him, you know, that I will know what I'm going to say. It's what we like to call a game time decision. So, here we go. He also let me know, and I'm sure Gabe will be thrilled by this, that I don't have a time constraint. So I can be up here as long as I want to be. And since Gabe loves how I tell stories, this is going to be a lot of fun. So, yes, as you know, or maybe you do know now, we just moved out to Crum, my family and mom and dad as well. We are all living in one house, which is very shocking for a lot of people, but when you come see it, it won't be as shocking. And so he wanted to kind of share the journey just of how we got there. And so in thinking about that, I had to back up quite a bit because I went over all the things. You know, I could come up here and say that we chose to put ourselves in a very quick and fast and scary position that we had to get out and had to find somewhere to go, and God provided, and it was amazing, and it's better than we ever dreamed, and I could have put down the mic, and Dad could have gone on. But I thought, you know, that is the I'll say, the gospel that does not get anybody. That's why half of America wants nothing to do with us, because if you don't let people see the personal part about who God is and about the things that he does, then unfortunately these days, because of how the enemy works, not even me saying God worked a miracle and I got a great house that I love, it's just not going to do it. I mean, it doesn't do it for us either, sadly. It should. He died on the cross. That should do it for us, but it doesn't. So again, Gabe will be thrilled to know that I'm going to tell you all the details, and because God worked in every one of them, and it was just amazing. So I just want to back up and say, you know, probably about 4 years ago, I guess, if you had told me that I would be even desiring to live on land, to have animals, to live a slow, out-of-the-city life, away from school for my kids and things for my kids, I just probably would have laughed. I don't know that I would have believed you. It just wasn't, not that it was anything that I didn't like, it just was not on my radar, which is typically how God works. And God began to change us kind of through the whole COVID years and all of those things, really grabbed a hold of our hearts, and we just started desiring things like land and slowness and homeschooling and things of that like, and just wasn't where we were. I had waited my whole life to be the mom that was dropping off a child here and going to soccer practice and then basketball and then picking up one and bringing it. That's where I thrived, and I thought that's forever where I would thrive. But that kind of began, and we started just kind of asking God to show us what that looked like and what that meant. And when we found our home in Decatur, for me, that was the end all. That was the big, huge answered prayer. That was exactly what I wanted. We were out. We were away. We had space. And I loved it. I mean, you could have asked me before May of this year, and I would have told you I could live there forever. It was small. It wasn't perfect by any means, but it was perfect for us. It was a dream come true. Even getting that house was a dream come true for us. So then fast forward to probably May of this year, I have to say I was a little concerned with myself, because I started feeling just kind of some discontentment and just like, my kids are growing, we need more space, it's a little small, how are we going to do all the things we want to? And originally I kind of shut those things down in myself, because I think typically we look at discontentment as, or at least I do, as a sign of ungratefulness. You know, like you're not looking at what the things that you have to be grateful for, and I have so many of those things. So I kind of just shoved that away until God so timely put in front of me, I was listening to a family that I follow that's kind of been walking a journey similar, and she was sharing that a lot of times we do that, and then we don't listen to maybe why God is putting that discontentment there. You know, like really search yourself and search the Word and spend time with him and see, you know, is this me just being ungrateful? Or is God picking up my feet and preparing me to move? And so that kind of started in me and just was like, wait a minute, you know, I don't know. And so I began just kind of praying through that and not sharing with anybody, because, again, I loved where I was. I was extremely happy where I was. But just kind of started thinking through those things. And fast forward to July, I was I was doing a study and listening to a woman, and she was talking about just a bunch of different things. But specifically, she started talking about, you know, us and making our requests known and just being open with God. And really, God was working on my heart at that time about my heart. And I say that because you can search, you could even do a quick Google search right now about what Scripture says about your heart, and you'll get what would look to be contradicting Scriptures. You know, you have like Jeremiah, you know, saying that the heart is deceitful above all things and it's wicked and, you know, those things. And then you have like, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you're like, well, those don't seem to align, and God will give you the desires of your heart. And so you go, well, do I trust my heart or do I not? Do I listen to it or do I not? You know, it's just kind of all over the board. And so I was walking through that, through this time. What does that look like? And And what I was listening to was talking about, you know, when you are walking with God, and I want to say that because the heart can be deceitful above all things, but when you are walking with God, He, you know, flipping those words and saying, God gives you the desires of your heart because He plants those desires within you, rather than just what I want, God gives me. No, God put those desires inside of me. And just really trying to listen to that and trying to go, okay, if this is from God, if this is in line with His will, then it's not selfish of me to ask Him to bring these things to fruition or whatever it is. And so I was listening to somebody and they actually said out loud, like, you know, some of you have just been praying for a farm and land and the home. And I, you know, they were calling it a Goshen, as God describes in the Bible. And I just was like taken back, because that's exactly obviously where I had been. And it was at that moment that I went to Gabe and I just said, hey, just jokingly, I think I was just leaning out Saturday night, we're watching football, and I just said, hey, just so you know, I think God has got something bigger for us. I don't think this is it. And he just was like, what? You know, like up until now, I'm like, we're never leaving this place. I can't wait to stay here forever. And I just kind of jokingly was like, hey, just so you know, I think God's got something else. And that was it. We didn't talk about it anymore. We let it go. I just, you know, continued listening to the Lord and kind of wherever, you know, whatever he wanted at that time. So after that, I just kind of started praying on my own. I still didn't even really share much because I didn't know what to ask people to pray for. I was still learning, you know, to trust my own heart, God in my own heart. And then this is the fun part of the story, because if you ask my kids, I'm going to tell you, they might tell you that we moved because of kittens, okay? And while that is partly true, we did not move our whole family because of kittens, okay? But God sure did use these kittens. So one night I had been with a friend, and we were out praying in very late into the night, and we like to walk and pray. And that night we were praying about just the scripture of, you know, his word is a lamp into our feet and a light into our path, and how God is going to make clear when we are in his word, he will light our path. That's what he says, and that we have no reason not to believe that. And so funny, because God is like that. I was driving home at 1:30 a.m. From doing that, just being in prayer, and I ran into a litter of kittens on the side of the road, which if you knew me before this, is all so funny, because I was not a fan of cats. But I ran into this litter of kittens, and long story short, I couldn't leave them there. I called Gabe at 2 a.m. I'm like, get outside, I need your help. We pull in these kittens, and yeah, it's a whole thing. And, you know, we're taking care of the kittens, whatever, and this is just all kind of a part of the story, because my kids love them, they're taking care of them, and but then we were only doing that to give them away. We were going to find homes for them. It was going to be great. We actually found homes for all four of them. And then very quickly just felt, I guess God, I'm not really sure, pulling back, like slow down, slow down, slow down. And so some of you probably know, I ripped my post off of Facebook. I'm like, I don't know what we're doing. This doesn't feel right. Something's wrong. And the long and short of it is that we gave two kittens away. We kept two. And shortly after that, we found out we were renting our home in Decatur, that we could not have kittens there. And again, normally we would have just been like, okay, send the cats away. We already have homes for them. But we knew, because we had been on that journey of God's got us, God, he's got somewhere else for us. That was just another step. That was, no, you are leaving here, and you better start preparing for that. And so that is when Gabe and I just really started going, okay, I have no idea. This is not a good time for us to move. This is not a good, it's just not a good time. But we just started praying through it. We knew that we were supposed to. That night that we kind of had that conversation with our landlords, who we love and adore, we knew it was time that we were supposed to be leaving. And so we started praying, and we got a really great realtor. I don't know if he's still in the room. He's not. That's really good news, because that means I can say what I want. So Ryan obviously started helping us looking for places. And when I told him what I wanted, I have to say, he was not very excited to be my realtor anymore because I was very specific. I said, if God is going to uproot me from my favorite place in the whole wide world, I firmly believe it's only because he's going to give me my new favorite place in the whole wide world. And it will be this, 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 and this. Yeah, and that was not very fun for him or Gabe because they knew that was not very possible in the time frame that we had and with the budget that we had. So we just kind of started praying, and you can check your watch all you want, babe. And we started praying through that. And really what happened is God just started working on Gabe and I, truthfully, on, you know, and I told him he was rude for playing that song. I didn't know he was going to do that. But, you know, asking, you know, will we give it up? Do we trust him in this? Will we say, okay, we'll go, not knowing where we're going to go if I don't get what I want? You know, Gabe's like, we could go live in a neighborhood for a couple of years. And I'm like, just break down and cry. Like, no. You know, and we're going back and forth. Just what does God want from us? We know he wants us uprooted from here, but what does he really want and what is he really doing? And that was hard. That was very hard because Gabriel is, he takes care of us and he takes his job as our provider very seriously. So where I'm like, let's just go look at whatever. God will figure it out. Gabe's like, hey, we've got to look at paper here. We got to look at these realities. And so that was a really hard time for us. And there we spent many, many nights just praying and just asking God, what in the world are you doing? We don't know where you want us. You know, I want to trust my heart. I want to trust these desires that you've given me, which, you know, I'll tell you, it's tough because I gave him a span of about 10 miles on a very specific road in a very specific area that I wanted to live in. And it needed to have certain things. And you should know that because it's very specific. And Gabe and Ryan just continued to laugh at me. But I knew that God would not take me. He was not going to take me. I would go if he wanted me to. But I did not feel like that's what he was doing with me. And so it was just that journey of learning to trust the desires that he had given me while also being willing to do whatever he wanted me to do. And so then here's where mom and dad get involved. We were looking, and just so you know, we could find nothing, absolutely nothing that fit what I needed. And as we continued to find absolutely nothing, Gabriel came to me and said that if we are going to do this and we're going to trust God, then we need to put in our 30 days, regardless of if we know where we're going. We need to tell them that we will leave in 30 days no matter what. Which you can imagine how that went. Not very well. But he was right. If I was going to trust God, then I was going to trust him all the way through, and we needed to walk that out. And so we did. We put a time frame on it. We said, we've got 30 days. We have nowhere to go. I have nothing that I like. And here we are. We're going to start packing. And so that's what we did. And while we were finding nothing, I found a wonderful home. Well, okay. God had given me a vision a couple of years ago of a home that I had drawn out, that I believed came from him, that I didn't know what was for. I thought it was way in the future. I wasn't sure. But one night at midnight, I'm looking and I see there was three things involved in this vision. And I found a home that had all those three things. And the tricky part was that it wasn't one home. It was two homes on land. And which obviously we were not going to be able to buy two homes by ourselves. So naturally, what do? I call my mother. And I say, hey, I found this home, but there's two of them. And I would need somebody else to come with me, knowing good and well they were very happy where they are. But guess what? They drove out there with us, and I could see it in their eyes that God was working on their hearts, and they really loved the land, and they really loved the idea of living out on the land, although there were a million reasons why they should not do that. But that was kind of the seed planted in them to kind of open up this new journey that I never would have thought we would be on. So then it was like, wait a minute, maybe they'll come with us. Now I can kind of change my search a little bit because it might be a little bit different. And so we found the home that we are living in now. And I originally, when I first found it, I jokingly sent it to mom. And I said, hey, remember when you said we could do anything for 1 year? And she said, oh, no. And I just said, It says there's 5,800 square feet. It's one house, but it says there's 5,800 square feet. And just kind of messing around with her because it is a log cabin in the middle of Crum on 11 acres, and it is 5,800 square feet. So we kind of laughed about it because it was incredibly unbelievable. Like, where did this come from? Who built this out here? Why is it here? What is it? And we just kind of started, okay, we'll go see it. Mom actually never got to see it. But when I got to go in and see it with Dad and the family, we were all there. I just knew. I knew right away, this is it. And you know, when you come, you will laugh because, you know, remember I was discontent with my lack of space. There is an overabundance of space in very weird places, but an overabundance of space. And that's how I knew. I'm like, okay, this is definitely it. However, it was not in the budget, let's just say. It was not in the budget for us, and it was a hard thing for me to grasp because I don't do those well. And so I told them, I said, this is the house, and I don't know how in the world we're going to get there. And I remember calling Mom and Dad and just asking, like, is this something you feel like God wants you to do? Because I don't, you're not going to do it to help me get in there. That's not why you're going to do it. If you're going to do this, change your whole life, uproot your whole world, then you're going to do it because God is doing something in us and he wants this. And so Dad, as he does, called a family meeting with our wonderful realtor who thinks I'm crazy. And we all sat down and Dad just asked, you know, what do you feel like God, do you really feel like God is leading you here? You know, what is this really? And so I just kind of shared my heart with him and I told him, I said, I want you to know, if you guys don't do this, I'm asking God to give me this house, even if it's not with you, which is absolutely impossible, 100% impossible. But I'm telling you, I'm going to do that because I feel like this is it. And Ryan, you know, love him. You could tell that is when he knew, one, he wasn't taking me into a neighborhood like he wanted to, but two, he just said, okay. And he was willing to do what we asked. And that's when Mom and Dad, you know, we right then decided here's, I think it was three or four, I can't remember, miracles that had to happen within a 36-hour span for this to be possible. And they were miracles. And Ryan made sure to pull up the stats on his lovely computer of how miraculous these things would have to be because it was not looking good. And so we prayed. And that next morning, Dad and Mom said, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to lay it before God and just ask him to come through. And if he comes through, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And if he doesn't, we move on. So there went our countdown for the miracles, which was a really fun thing for my kids, by the way. So we just kind of kept waiting and watching, and multiple things happened. As you know, Mom had to have her house ready to be put on the market, on the listing within, like, I don't know, 12 hours. And she did that. Ryan got people there. Everybody, I'm so grateful. I cannot go without saying everybody bought into this thing God was doing in me, not because they trust me, you know, Gabe, not because he trusts me, but because he trusted that God was working in me. And I'm so grateful for that because there was a night that he said, I will pack up this family and I will move us to a hotel because I believe in what God is doing in you. And I needed that so badly because I didn't know if I was supposed to be believing in it. But he jumped on, they jumped on board, Ryan jumped on board doing everything that he could. And the miracles just came. You know, we found the perfect people to rent Mom and Dad's house in the perfect time frame. We made an offer on the cabin and it was declined very quickly. Which to then Ryan kind of laughed in my face, I think, and said, I told you so. But I told him, I go, no, this is still it. This is still it. And the funny part is some things happened, some changes happened at Gabe's job, and it became possible for us to get the house without them accepting our offer, which was a huge miracle that we didn't even pray for or ask for. That was, number four that we weren't even asking for. And that came through. And we all sat on the phone and we prayed and just said, you know, God, if this is what we're supposed to do, we will bring you what we've got. And you've just got to make the rest happen. And the next day, well, Ryan, of course, so I'm calling Ryan going, hey, we're ready. What? Call the guy. Tell him it's ours. Tell him we'll take it. And Ryan, in his abundant wisdom, said, I'm not calling him yet. I'm not calling him yet. We are waiting. You prayed for a specific thing. You made an offer. We are waiting. And I didn't take that very well. But we waited because Ryan's in charge. So we waited, and Ryan did what Ryan does. And sure enough, the man who was very absolutely not, I will not accept your offer. We will not budge at all, called back within 12 hours and counteroffered and made us even lower than what we could have done. And it that to us was the end all. Like, this is absolutely, God is in this. This was something we never thought would change, and he provided a way for us to do it without that. But then he came through, and he did that anyway just to confirm to us, I feel like, that this is what we were supposed to be doing. And so that was, I'd like to say that was the last of the miracles, but it wasn't, because I had no idea what miracles were needed to move mom and dad out of their home of 10 years and to move us all in the same 24-hour span. But God worked all of those things together in ways that I can't even tell you. If I went into the details, one, we would be here all day and Gabe would be mad. But two, you just wouldn't even believe it. But I want you to know that God answered prayers of mine that I didn't even pray because I was afraid they were selfish. I was afraid to ask for them. Things like my running path, things like where the animals might go, things that don't matter in the big scheme of life, but they matter to, you know, my Heavenly Father who loves his daughter the way greater than I love my own children. And God has done that and more and more and more, so many things that we didn't even think of that he has done and brought through. And, you know, all to say, God does give us, when we are walking with him, when we are trusting in him, he does give us desires. And I believe that the believer that, I'll say America, which that's a whole different thing, but that America needs to see is the one where God is personal, where he hears our prayers, where he is meeting us daily, where he's meeting me as I sit and cry on my front porch and just cry out to him because I don't know what I'm doing. You know, that God, that is what people need to see, and they need to know that he is doing things like this. He's working miracles that aren't just to show that he is God and he can do all, but to show that he loves me. He loves my parents. He loves Gabe. He loves my family personally, not just, you know, and that's terrible to even say that, but we, you know, unfortunately it's become such a thing that we know he died on the cross for us, but he died on the cross to take even my sorrows, my pains, my sin, all of it. And his relationship with me is so personal. It's so much more personal than we could imagine. And he wants us to bring those things before him. And he wants to answer those. And he wants us to then come and sit before you guys and share that so that you can know that God cares about you that way. He cares about you so deeply. And there's nothing that you could ever do to change that. And I just, all of that to say, I want you to know, one, when you come see the house, segue, tonight, when you come gather and see it, I want you to know that it is not perfect. There are so many things, you know, that are wrong, per se. But it is perfect for us. And God did that for us because he loves us. And if there is something that the world needs, it is to know that God loves you right where you're at, but he doesn't want to leave you there. He wants you to depend on him at all times. He wants you to depend on that love for him and that personal, intimate relationship with him. So I hope that you will come out and see our abundance of space that I am so happy to have, and that God will just use that. And I know he already has with mom and dad and our family, but we just want to invite you to see that he is good. It's not about we are in a house and it's great and come see it and we love it. Those things are true, but it is about the goodness of God and that, you know, truly all our lives, he has been faithful. And if I had ended up in a neighborhood, he would still be faithful and he would still be good. But he did this to show how much he loves us. So I hope you know that and I hope you feel that. And you guys are dismissed. I'm just kidding.
Thank you for sharing, Reagan. I appreciate that. It is an adventure, and one of the things I want you to see out of this passage of Scripture that Reagan has mentioned multiple times is God knows every detail in your life. He knows the things he wants to give to you. He knows the things he doesn't want to give to you because they're going to be difficult. You know, people have said before, God answers prayer. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says yes. And then sometimes he says maybe later. Well, you know, trusting God is trusting God in the know. That there's a reason why he is saying no. This is not good for you. It's not the right thing for your life. And when God answers yes, we enjoy the blessings that he has for us. And when God says maybe later, we, although they are not comfortable to us, we take those times as his leadership in our life because, says right here in this passage, it says, for the Father himself loves you. And that's you, plural. That's all of us who believe in him, who trust in him, who follow him. He expresses that love to us by the way he leads us in our life and the way he guides us. I do have to say, you know, I was probably a lot like Gabe in thinking to myself, wow, this is so crazy. But I remember when we had our family meeting, I heard in Reagan's voice, God spoke to me in that. I heard him saying, watch me work. Watch me work. And you know, we agreed upon those things, that when those things all come together and they happen, we will know. And that is what God has done and what God desires for each and every one of us. He desires the very best. Even in his no, he desires the very best for us. So, I don't know what you're dealing with today. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe it's a situation that to you appears impossible. You have heard today how God can take the impossible aspects of our life and through him, he can make them all possible. Not through our power, through our ability, not through our conniving ways, or, you know, not feeling like, well, I have to network with people in order to get God to work. God can work without us. And he has the power to do that if we will ask. If we will ask for him to do it. So let's pray together for just a second. I don't know what your thing is today. If you could pick one thing or multiple things. Are you willing to surrender them to God? Let Him work in a way that you don't know, but you know Him. And because you know Him, He is able to do all things. I'm going to ask you to just take a moment in your own life, or maybe with your spouse there, and will you lay before God the things that are on your heart? Will you trust Him in those things? Let God work.